Welcome to the Bethany Bible Church Teaching Ministry Podcast, a place to dive deep into God's Word and discover how it transforms everyday life. We're a church committed to praising God, preparing His people, and proclaiming the gospel. Each message features biblical teaching from our Sunday gatherings with the goal of helping you grow in your faith, understand Scripture more clearly, and live out the truth of the gospel wherever God has placed you. Whether you're a part of our Bethany family or listening in from across the world, we're glad you're here. So whether you're commuting, exercising, or doing dishes, grab your Bible, lean in, and let God's Word speak into your life. If you ever have questions or want to learn more about Bethany Bible Church, visit us online at bethanybiblechurch.com. Thanks for listening. We're honored to walk with you as you grow in Christ.
All right, as we continue on, Wednesday is the day. We've been preparing for it, doing all the things that come along with Christmas. One of the things that we have been doing is not just a thing, but it's an opportunity for us to celebrate the arrival of God with us. And this week in Advent, we are looking at the aspect of love. Love that God has for His people so that He might send His Son. In John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "So the Word became human and made His home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." And every Advent, we're reminded that God's love is active. It's not passive. He didn't wait for humanity to make a move or to become clean enough or worthy enough. Instead, he moved towards us. He saw the need, and though we were not worthy, God came to us. He became human and made His home among us. God Emmanuel, God with us, so that we could experience His love personally, intimately. This love was sacrificial, and it was, best of all, unconditional. That's the kind of love that the Father has for us. It asks nothing for us, but it offers everything to us if we would receive it. And so this week, as you get ready for all of the Christmas festivities, I pray that you would remember Christmas not just as this good story or this opportunity to come around as a family and have a wonderful meal and open presents and all of the other great parts of Christmas. I pray that for you, this story is reality. It is a part of who you are. It is the part of who we are. Because God's love, it's not theoretical, right? It's not something that we've dreamed up or imagined. It's not make-believe. It is real, and it is in our lives right now. It enters our mess, our struggles, and our world to bring redemption, healing, and hope. That is the love of God. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You, God, that You loved us so much, that You came to us. Not in some huge show of power or prestige, that You came as a baby who was laid in a manger into the lives of ordinary people. You revealed Yourself, the God of the universe. And You gave up Yourself, Your life, so that we might have eternal life. We thank You for that kind of love. May we exhibit that love throughout this Christmas season and beyond to all those we come in contact with. In the powerful name of Jesus, amen. When you look at people's social media pages, it is not a regular humdrum list a lot of times. I guess sometimes it is. Some people post every moment of their lives, and that's a whole other sermon series. But for most people, they post that highlight reel, right? You can see the vacations that they went on, the great reunifications of people that they've come to see after a long time, and the best meals that they've had, which is fine. It's fine. But life isn't a highlight reel. We live in the in-between moments of those highlights, right? We live in the times where alarms go off far too early. We live in the same commute, the same route, the same traffic pattern every day. We live in a world where most of the meetings that we go to could have been emails. We live in the ordinary. And the problem is, in the midst of all of that regular, we think that God only shows up in those big picture moments, the social media post-worthy moments, the answered prayer, the life-changing promotion, the miracle of healing in someone who's been praying for a long time, or the spiritual breakthrough. And those are all great and incredible things, but those are not everyday life. That's not Monday to Friday. Most of our lives aren't made up in those moments. They're made up in these ordinary ones. And here's the danger, that if we only expect God to show up or to work in those extraordinary moments, we miss him in the places where we actually live. And that's why the Christmas story matters so much. Because when God in human form stepped into human history, he didn't arrive in some giant festival or some revival moment or anything else that felt incredibly spiritual. God didn't shut the whole world down for this incredible birth, right? Like he didn't just completely post on all. I was thinking of when the president used to come on back in the 80s and it just wiped out everything you were doing. Specifically when I was watching television. The president would come on and it was the worst, because I had no idea what he was saying or why it mattered. God didn't do that. He could have lit up the sky with angels and giant LED screens and said, "The sun has arrived," right? And that's the way we would have done it. Again, go to people's social media posts. All of the ways that we do birth announcements and all of those things now, engagements. And I'm so glad I got married in the late 90s and I had kids in the early 2000s, because I would have been terrible at that and it would have gotten me a lot of trouble. But God didn't do any of those things. Instead, he entered right into the middle of humanity on a quiet, ordinary night. And what we're going to look at today, what we want to really focus in on, what when you get in the car, I hope you talk about, is this: that God is not just with us in the extraordinary moments, he is with us in the ordinary ones. And he often does his greatest work in those ordinary moments of our lives. But if we're not careful, we can start to believe the lie that the culture will purvey on us, because it's what everybody else thinks, that God only works in these big, spiritual, dramatic moments. And if we're not experiencing those moments, then God's not in it. There couldn't be anything further from the truth. And Luke 2, what we're going to dive into today, shows us that, proves that. Because the story of Jesus' birth isn't filled with spectacle at first. It's filled with travel, it's filled with inconvenience, and just day-to-day life. And that's good news, because again, that's where we live. That's who we are in the 99% of our life. So let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and see what God has to say this morning. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their ancestral towns to register for this census. Now, these first three verses doesn't sound very spiritual, right? We know these verses, but when you just look at those three, you're like, that's a weird statement to be in the Bible. There's no angels, there's no prophecies, there's no Christmas carols, none of this happening, right? This is, you know, this is a part of the story where you're kind of waiting for the good part to come down. When your grandpa made you come downstairs and he was reading this story and he was talking about this, you're like, cool, that is a lot of weird names and I don't understand any of that. It was to build a setting that shows us it's just life, man. Government census. The kind of thing that when you think of it, which I guess we still have a few more years till the next one, but it makes you grumble. All we have to do is this letter that comes in the mail and fill it out and send it back. They had to like travel, right? It interrupts plans. It feels inconvenient, unnecessary. And for the people of this time, this census meant more taxes. So it wasn't exactly a woohoo moment. But it is in this moment, in this setting, in the first three verses, first couple verses, that God launches the greatest rescue mission in human history. Through a tax-related administrative event. But in this moment, prophecies are being fulfilled. And here's the point. God works through interruptions we didn't ask for. Do you believe that? Because a lot of times those interruptions are just that, interruptions that we try to get past as quick as possible. And we pay no attention to what God is doing in the midst of it because it's such an inconvenience on our lives. Mary and Joseph didn't plan a trip to Bethlehem. That was not on their agenda. They didn't choose the inconvenience of trying to find some place to stay in the new town. They didn't want to trek the nearly 9 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And yet God was guiding history through these ordinary circumstances. What we see as a disruption, God used as direction. Look in verse 4. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child. Mary and Joseph, they just did the next right thing. Joseph didn't make any big speeches, right? There was no great audience to which he could act all of this out. There was no Facebook that he could say, heading to Bethlehem, bet the little lady's going to have a baby there, ... Send thoughts. It'd be weird if we could go back and see that, though. There was no applause. There was no prayer hands in the comments. It was just obedience. Joseph goes where he's told, and Mary follows, pregnant, uncomfortable, exhausted, feet swelling, the whole thing. You get it. And this is important. God didn't ask them to understand everything, just to trust him, just to be obedient. And sometimes we like to think that our faith has to have full confidence. And it does, but not in our total understanding of every aspect of what's going to happen. Because most of the time, faith is just obedience in the next step, the next moment. We go to work when life is difficult. We show up to church when we're tired. We do the right thing even when no one notices. Because that's where God shows up. Look in verse 6. And while they were there, The time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. There was no fancy Airbnb. There was no special treatment, no place of honor, no clean hospital room. God entered the world in quiet, humble circumstances. Not in a palace as he deserved, and not surrounded by powerful dignitaries. He was just born in an inconvenient place and placed in the most convenient spot for a baby to be laid, which was a feeding trough. And this tells us something profound about God, that he's not impressed with what impresses us. It's important that we recognize that. Jesus didn't come to simply be admired as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He came to be accessible. And that is such great news for all of us. Because it means that no part of your life is too small or too plain or too broken for him to meet you in. And so my challenge this Christmas, I know for a lot of the women in this room right now, there are 17,000 things running through your head as you're trying to pay attention to what I'm saying. So thank you for that. Husbands, you'd be well to take a few of those things off her plate without being asked. That was free and not in my notes. That's just 26 years of marriage talking, okay? In this season, take some time to truly rest that God is accessible to you. That was his design. He's not far above you. He's right with you, walking with you through all of this. And so it makes sense then, when you think about it, that this ordinary birth would occur. And then in this ordinary birth, the next logical thing is that the first announcement of the Christ child was to ordinary people. Look in verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." God's first announcement was to shepherds. Men who were overlooked, underappreciated, socially insignificant. If you were writing a marketing plan for fame and fortune and the putting out of all of this great announcement, this would not be your target audience. But God doesn't reveal himself based on glory or status. He reveals it all based on grace. His grace. Not just to important people, to all people. And that includes you. The tired parents, the overworked employees, the spiritually unsure, the emotionally worn down folks. To all of us, that's who God came for. And he meets ordinary people right where they are when they pay attention in the everyday moments. That's so exciting. If you take these ordinary moments and just wait for the next extraordinary moment, this Christmas season, you might miss God do something amazing in your life. Watch what these shepherds did. Verse 15, when the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. Did you notice how they reacted? The shepherds, they don't debate the next best plan. They don't put it on their calendar to go check out later. They don't just talk about it amongst each other. They just go. They're obedient. Verse 17, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. It was just as the angel had told them. Did you notice that? After witnessing the birth of the Messiah, the message that was told to them by the angels, their first inclination was not to just go enjoy it and consider themselves lucky, to consider themselves favored. Their next decision was just to be on mission, to go back to their ordinary lives and share what they had seen, to spread the good news before they went back to their fields. That's an incredible thing. These newest, these first missionaries, they spread the message and then went back to work. They're not the same any longer. And a lot of times for us, God doesn't change our circumstances. He changes us. He changes our heart right in the middle of our current circumstances. And so for all of us sitting out here, maybe you feel ordinary. Maybe you feel like your life has become routine. Maybe you even feel like you're unnoticed where you are. Christmas tells us something different. Christmas tells us that God is with you in the middle of everyday life. Not just on Sundays, not just when you feel spiritual, not just when everything in your life is making sense. He's in all of it. Every day. He's with you in your work, in your waiting, in your doubts, in your routines, in the car, in the shower. He's with you in all of the things that maybe you don't even consider anymore because it's just the 9-to-5 that you live. And in all of that, it leads us straight to the heart of the gospel. The reason that God came in such an ordinary way. It's because the problem he came to solve is universal. It's our sin. It's our rebellion. It's our unworthiness to be with him. The greatest problem that we have in our lives is not out in the world. It's right in our hearts. And scripture tells us that we are separated from God by our sin, unable to fix ourselves, in need of rescue. That is what we need. And as a response, God didn't send us just another rule book. He sent his son, who lived a perfect life because we couldn't. And he died the death that we deserved. On the cross, he stood in our place. We should have been up there. Rightly so. But he stood for us. And on the third day, he rose again. Not in theory, but in actual historical reality. Which for us means this. Salvation is not earned. It's received as a gift. Every one of you will receive and give gifts over the next few days. But those gifts are not fully given and not fully received until someone reaches out and takes it, truly receives it and brings it unto themselves. That is the salvation. Jesus doesn't force anything on anybody, but he offers it for those that are willing to take it. And this offer of new life is available for all of us. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you've never accepted the gift of salvation, the offer is right there. The gift is in his hand. Will you receive it today? While you're considering that, let me give you a few things that I want you to do over the next couple days. I want you, in the busyness of life and the busyness of your schedule and all of the celebrations and the traveling, all the things that you have to do over the next couple days, here's what I want you to do. Invite God into those everyday moments. The easiest thing in the world to do is to leave God out of those everyday moments because they're in rotation. They're the routine. They're the things that we don't think about. So what I want you to do is to step out of that for a moment and invite God into it. Start with just a simple prayer. God, help me to notice your presence today. Put it as an alarm. Put it as a calendar setting. However you're going to remember it, add that to your daily routine. And the second thing is this: obey God in the small things. If you've been looking for something extraordinary from God, if you've been waiting for this big, gigantic thing, you might have missed a lot of little things along the way. So be obedient in the small things and watch how God shows up every day. Just ask yourself, what is my next right step? And then be obedient to that. Even if it means you might not be noticed or if you might feel unimpressive, watch God work through that. And the third thing is, like the shepherds, proclaim Jesus in your ordinary moments, in your office at work, in your commute, in your coffee stop every morning, wherever you find yourself throughout the week. Proclaim Jesus in those ordinary moments. Now, I don't know if you've noticed this. If you haven't gone to the Church Center app and looked at the digital bulletin, there's something that is there every week that I haven't really promoted yet. And I was trying to figure out a good way to put it there. But every week, I put down some discussion questions. And some of our groups actually use it to kind of continue the conversation from the message. I would encourage you to go to the digital bulletin this week and look at the discussion questions there. They have been designed so that you can take your family through some of those questions. They're not super high level. They're just good discussion questions built around this message and the message of Jesus at Christmas. To make something ordinary, maybe you sit down and you read the Christmas story every year. Do that, and then find one or two of those questions that you can ask the kids or ask your grandkids or whoever you're sitting around with, to continue this conversation so that we can proclaim Jesus in these ordinary moments in extraordinary ways. Because if God came in an ordinary night to bring us his son, he's going to meet you in the ordinary nights of your life. This Wednesday at 5:00, Christmas Eve, we're going to celebrate the truth of Jesus. God with us. God himself came to this earth to be with us, and it all started in a manger. So I hope that you will join us as we celebrate the moment that heaven touched earth, that hope took on flesh, and that moment that God came near us. The best part of all of that is that he's still near us today. He's still available. So if you're weary, if you're unsure, if you've never accepted his gift of salvation, know that God is with you and he wants you to respond. So if that's you, after we pray, we're going to sing a song. I invite you, come find me. Let's have the conversation about what it looks like to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Your life will go from ordinary to extraordinary, and probably in a different way than you think. But it's worth it. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the ordinary moments, the moments in our life where you're working, doing incredible things. May we not miss those this week. May we celebrate each moment as an opportunity for you to do something incredible. Father, you did something incredible all those years ago when you brought your Son into this earth. In humble beginnings, the God of the universe was born. May we never forget that. May we never take it for granted that you became accessible to all of us because you love all of us. Father, may we exhibit that same type of love to the world around us. We give you praise and glory in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.